We're going to turn in the book of Revelation to chapter 2. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for this opportunity, this freedom, this privilege to come to your house to worship you. Lord, many times we take being able to go to church, being able to have a Bible, we take that for granted. Lord, there's many places in our world that you can't do that freely. Lord, we truly thank you for that. Lord, we do ask this morning that you would be with each heart here, that you would open the ears of each heart, and Lord, that your word would not fall on deaf ears, and Lord, that we would be doers and not just hearers, Lord, deceiving ourselves. Lord, I pray for the one that may be here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that Lord, today, that they would come to know you. Lord, I believe every church service, whether it be on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday, is a divine appointment for whatever reason, but you know. Lord, I pray that you would work in each heart. I do ask, Lord, you would bless as I bring your word, that I would say what you put on my heart. No more, no less. I'd be behind that cross. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And these things we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I was studying on this for our Wednesday night Bible study, I really got to looking into the seven churches and the things that were good about them, the things that were bad about them. We're going to kind of hit on both. Ephesus, I want you to understand, was, I believe, was probably founded by Paul. It could have already been there, but the church. But Ephesus was a big place. It had about 250,000 people there. And the church there, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla worked in. And later on, he dropped Timothy off there as their pastor. But I want you to know that Ephesus had a lot in common. Well, I should say it this way. We've got a lot in common with where we live with Ephesus. Prostitution was a big thing. They even had a priest that got into priestly prostitution. I can't figure that out, but they were worshiping false gods, the goddess Diana, Artemis. And so they had we can look today and what do we have? And it's not just in Nevada anymore. It's all over the country. The only difference in most of the country in Nevada is we're open with it. You can see it everywhere. But they boasted of their lifestyle. They boasted of their temple. And it was a big issue with them. Timothy had a tough job there. Now, these seven letters were written to the churches. And they were written to the pastor and the congregation. And we read here about he wrote this letter. And he says in verse 2, "I know thy works and thy labor." Listen, Jesus told them, he said, "Hey." He said, "You guys are doing good here. This is what I want to commend you on." I want you to remember this is a, what would I call it, a royal letter to the children of the king. Listen, if you're here today and you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, you're not just the average citizen out here in America. You're a child of the king. And I know that when you go to places to eat, they just open the doors up. Come on in. Lay out the red carpet, don't they? Yeah. They don't. Matter of fact, they don't even like you. You're irritating to them. But nonetheless, you're a child of the king. And this is royal mail. We need to take these letters seriously of what Jesus wrote to the seven churches. Now, a lot of people think, I won't stay too long on this, but a lot of people think that these seven churches were seven different periods of time. Personally, I do not. If you think otherwise, hey, that's okay. But I believe that you can find each of these churches anywhere you want to go today. They've all got these problems. And Ephesus did have a problem, but the Lord commended them. He said, hey, he said, think about what the verses say. He's the one that holds in his right hand. He comes among us, walks among us. Listen, when we come together as a church, we want to make sure that Jesus is among us. Amen? We need our hearts right. Jesus will be among us. He said, where two or more gather together, I'll be in the midst. And he told these churches this. And he told Ephesus, he said, hey, you've got some good things about you. There's a lot of things about you that I'm proud of. He said, you know, I'm really happy with your labor. They were laboring for the Lord. He said, I'm really happy that you're willing to stand up and against the false teachings. Now, what that told me as well is they knew the Word of God. They knew what God wanted. They knew what God expected in a church. I think as Wagon Wheel, we've got two other churches represented here today as well. First Missionary Baptist of Sherrill, Arkansas, and Sweet Home Missionary Baptist of Prattsville. I believe as well they know what the Lord expects. But that's where the problem come in at. You see, we know what the Lord expects, but sometimes we don't do what He tells us. And that's what happened to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, he says here in verse 4, after he's told them, he said, you know, you like that getting boosted up? Yeah, you know, I used to do that to my son. Man, you're doing good in school. You know, you really are. You're doing, I'm proud of you. Boy, you know, you're taking care of the horses and our livestock. You're doing really good, but you know what? You need a haircut. You know, when you look at what Jesus wrote here, it's sort of what he did. He says, hey, I know your labors, it's good. I know that you hate evil. I know that, you know, you don't tolerate false teachings. That's good. But then verse 4. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You know, I don't want God to say I have somewhat against thee. That's not good. You know, my son didn't like it none. My daughters didn't like it none when I said, I got somewhat against you. Yeah, you know, oh, Dad. You know, they didn't like, but that's what Jesus told him. He said, listen, you're doing all of this. This is great. But I've got some things against you. He told him, he says, thou hast left thy first love. Now, some of you heard some of this on Wednesday because we were studying on that. And I always use me and my wife. That way I don't get in trouble with anybody else. I just get in trouble with her. We've been married, what? Oh, she gave me that look. It'll be 40 years, by the way, in April. But, you know, when I look at her now, my love is supposed to be as strong or stronger for her now as it was the day I met her when she first walked into the church building I was in. And this other kid sitting there with me, he said, wow. I said, yeah, just get blindfolds on, buddy. I said, that's mine. I'm serious. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, look, we'll fight about it. It's up to you. I said, we can go outside, whatever you want to do. But see, my love is supposed to have grown stronger for her from that time to now. Now, at that time, I looked at her as the Lord gave me eyes. I thought, woo, she's a hot rod now, you know. But then as I grow older with her, guess what's supposed to be there? We get closer and closer, and my love leaves that lust stage, I should say, and I start loving her for who she is. I start loving her for what she has done for me over the years. Trust me, she's put up with a lot. She's done a lot for me. I can't tell you how humbling it is to say, honey, will you get this for me? Will you run upstairs and get... She won't get me the bail. I asked her to get me a bail, but she won't get me the bail. But I've had to ask her to help me a lot since this surgery. And you know, when I have my heart problem, I could still walk around. I had my shoulder surgery. Wasn't a big deal. I could still walk around. But I can't walk around. And so I've got to ask her a lot. See, your love grows stronger, but if we're not careful, it can do what it did at Ephesus. Our love for Christ can get weaker. My love for her can get weaker. We just come in, sit down, hey, honey, how you doing? I don't want to hear about your day. I'm going to turn the TV on and watch the news. Now, I'm going to read the newspaper. And that love grows weaker and weaker. And it's not good. That's what happened at Ephesus. Boy, they were on fire when they first met Jesus, when Paul brought them the gospel, and he preached to them, and the people got saved, and Apollos had came, and he brought out the Word of God, and it says in Acts, I think 19 or somewhere right there, that Aquila and Priscilla realized some things about him, and they helped him along and taught him a better way because he was an eloquent speaker. I like that. Eloquent speaker. I don't even know what it means. I think it means special. But you know, those people were excited and they had a church and it was growing and it was really doing good. And they had the Timothy in there as their pastor. And boy, things are going good. And then we read the book of Timothy. And Paul wrote that to Timothy to encourage him. Because, like I said, Ephesus wasn't the best place in the world to have a church. People liked what was off down the hill down here. And so he encouraged him. We've got the Bible. God encourages us. But what happened is their love for the Lord started weakening. And if we're not careful as wagon wheel, our love for Christ can start weakening. And we can get away from it. He says in verse 4, he says, thou hast left thy first love. Now, what he told them in verse, he didn't tell them nothing else. He didn't say, look, you're not laboring right, because they were laboring. They had done some good things, but their weakness was, their love was dwindling. You know what that does? Instead of bringing your wife a rose once a week, you start bringing her a rose once a month. Before long, maybe you bring her one 6 months. Birthday, you go out and get her a dozen, you know. I mean, that'll make up for the whole year, right? You know, but it's... Don't even say it. I can't remember the last time I brought her a rose. But you know, that love starts weak. You start losing that joy. And that's what happened to Ephesus. They were, when they lost their first love, they were losing that first love, and their joy in the salvation was going away. Man, when I first got saved, it was like, wow, I'm not going to hell. The first thing I did when I got up Monday morning, got dressed to go out to the beach. I was working on the beach in Texas, building condos. Got in the car with a guy and I said, dude, let me tell you. I said, listen, I got saved yesterday. He said, you got what? I said, I got saved. I said, I'm no longer on the road to hell. He said, listen, I'm a Catholic. I don't want to hear about it. He said, I don't have that problem. I said, okay. I kind of dampered it a little bit, but then I was telling other people about it. But then as I went along, it was like, people don't want to hear this. They started dampering, you know, kind of quenching my fire, so to speak. But I didn't need to worry about them. You see, that's where we have a problem at, is we start worrying about everybody else. We start worrying about what they think. Now, with that said, see, I couldn't figure out the other day. I'm like, why in the world am I reading over here when I need to be reading over here? And I asked the Lord, I said, tell me. I said, I don't get it. And I'm going to be honest with you, at about 1 this morning, it came to me, the passage he had me reading last night, and it says, I'm like, oh, I get it. So go over to 2 Samuel. Hang on to Revelation. We're going to come back there. Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm not going to go into a super amount of what David was doing. I will give you a little brief history real quick. David had messed up. He had done some bad things. He took a man's wife, lied, had the guy killed. I mean, he had done some bad things, amen? Because of this, he had lots of problems in his household. Absalom decided, I'm going to be king of Israel. So David was fleeing Jerusalem at this time, and he was on a course of, I know what God wants, but I also know what they want. But it was plain to see, Absalom wanted the kingdom. That was his son. He intended on killing David. He wanted to do away with David. He wanted to take the kingdom. But not only him, there was other people. You see, Saul, King Saul had gotten killed. His sons had gotten killed. The kingdom was in a mess. And this guy that come along blamed it on David. Now, chapter 16, verse 11. I think it's, well, I got to get to the right one. I'm in 1 Samuel. I knew it didn't look right. Okay, chapter 16, verse 11. And David, well, now we better back up. Go to verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. That'll work. The sons of Gera, he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. He was cursing the king, telling him, you're a son of Belial. And he said, the Lord hath returned unto thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Now really, that ain't why David had problems. Saul caused his problems. Saul disobeyed God and lost his kingdom. It didn't have nothing to do with David, but this guy was blaming David. In whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom unto the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in my mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai. Now I want to tell you, Abishai meant what he said, by the way. He had part in the murder of Joab, and he was a serious soldier. The son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog, my lord the king, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head? You know, that's the attitude this guy had. He said, hey, I can fix this problem you've got. I'll go over there and just take his head off. Little old twerp. I'm tired of hearing him cussing the king. I'm tired of hearing him accusing the king. Let me just go take his head off. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? Listen, David knew. All he had to do was say, get after it. This dude would have done it. He wasn't playing. He says, so let him curse. Because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. Absalom, my very son, not adopted son, my very son seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. That word requite means basically repay. Listen, David said, hey, don't worry about him. Let him do what he's doing. He feels like he's doing the right thing. Leave him alone. Ignore him. But we got to stay on the track. You see, in our lives, Brother Chris even mentioned it last night, family gets irritated with you when you're serving the Lord. As a church, as a whole, those outside, they get fed up with churches. Do you? I know that you probably don't know this, but do you know that the majority of the United States don't like you? They don't. They don't like Christians. Listen, they can get anything done they want just like that. I seen a thing on Facebook. 8 people out of a students of 42,000 has possibly got Chick-fil-A kicked off the campus. 8 people. Is 8 people a majority? They don't like Christians. And they will do anything to get your mind off of your course that you're on, to get your mind off of what our destination is. Listen, our destination is heaven. Amen. If you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, one of these days you're going to leave here and you're going to wake up in heaven. Or you're going to be walking along or driving along or jogging or whatever it is you like to do, and you're out of here and you're going to be in heaven. That's our destination. We do not need to let the world pull our minds off the destination, off the course that we're supposed to be on. What all does that, TB? That'll take your mind off of the course you're on. Because what do you see when you watch TV? Garbage. Not only that, they want you to see that people don't like you. And it takes your mind off of the course of where you're going, the course of what you're supposed to be doing. Computers do that. Facebook. Yeah, I've got 2 Facebook pages. Got talked into both of them. I've even considered getting rid of one of them. I got one that's the church, because I got people all over. Oh, Brother Jim, we want to know what's going on out there. And then I got mine. Oh, Dad, we can communicate back and forth. Why? Call me. Text me. Better yet, hop a flight and come see me. You know, it don't take long to fly from Michigan to here. Doesn't take long to fly from Colorado to here. You can come see me. But Facebook will take your mind off of the course you're on. But what's even worse, though, is your friends, your family will take you off of the course that you're supposed to be on. See, David could have said, whoa, let's all stop. You know what? I'm tired of you, dude. Abishai, go get him. Now, that would have took time. He'd have went up there and done that. That would have caused a whole other uproar because they killed this guy. It would have took David off the course he was on. Would have took his mind off of what he needed to be doing. You see, that'll happen to us if we're not careful. And if that happens, that's when that first love starts dwindling away. Because you get your mind up. What happened to Peter? Peter's in a boat. Storm, waves. Man, he's sloshing around. I don't know how big a boat it was. He's sloshing around in this boat. Jesus comes walking up. They're all scared to death. And then all of a sudden Jesus said, hey, it's all right. Relax, it's just me. Peter says, well, really? Well, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. Come on. Now, I've read that and read that. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a feeling when he said come, I think he meant all of them. Peter's the only one that stepped out of the boat. I'm going to hand it to him. He stepped out of the boat and started walking. And as long as his eyes was on Jesus, his destination, he was doing fine. He was walking on water. It don't say how far he walked. He might have walked 50 yards. I have no idea. But then what happened? He let something take his mind off of where it was supposed to be. And he started sinking. You see, if we allow family and friends, stuff, lots of stuff in the world, we allow all that to take our minds off of Christ, guess what? We're going to end up like Peter. We're going to start sinking. We're going to start going off on the sidetracks. And it takes a whole lot longer to get back on. You see, David was doing good, by the way. King Saul was out to kill him, chased him all over the place. Instead of killing King Saul, he let God take care of it. Took his rightful place of the kingdom, and then he took his mind off the Lord. He got sidetracked. You know, she might have been a good-looking woman. But I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you, you could ask David later, was it worth it? And he'd have said, no. He didn't count on that little side road that he took costing him what it cost him. See, we don't count on the little side roads. We don't realize when we get off on the side road what it's going to do as a whole. See, I can go off on the side road and it affects me. But me as the pastor at Wagon Wheel, what else is it going to affect? It's going to affect her. But it's also going to affect you. Seeing how our sponsor and co-sponsors here, it's going to affect them. Well, look what they're supporting out there. They got a pastor out there that was out gambling, running women, and drinking. I'm not, by the way. You can ask my wife. She'll vouch for me. But who does it... See, the little things that get us off track affects a lot of different people. David could have said, you know what, Abishai, go kill him. I am tired of him. Go take his head off. I know you're capable. Get after it. But who would have it affected? It would have affected everybody. We got to keep our minds on Jesus. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord, or we can end up like the church at Ephesus. I'm not sure what happened. I got an idea what happened to the church of Ephesus, because you can go to Ephesus now and I don't think it's there. Not to my knowledge. Miss Judy, you've been there, haven't you?
I haven't, but Jim and Terry have been.
Hey, Jim Black is one of our missionaries. He's been there. He said there ain't a church there. Yeah, it folded up. Why? Because they didn't do these few little things that the Lord told them to do. It's really five little things. He told them, remember. He said, listen, remember where you come from. Remember you were on the road to hell. Remember that. It don't matter how vile you were. The point is, without Jesus, you were lost and dying and going to hell. Remember where you're at. Remember where you got sidetracked. Back up. Go back to that place where you got sidetracked and get it right. He said, repent. See, verse 5 of Revelation, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent, and then go back and do the first works. See, he tells us, remember, repent. Repent just means turn back, change your mind. Hey, you may like what you got into. But what's God think about it? We're supposed to have the same heart towards sin that God does. Listen, there's a lot of sin out there that's fun. It is. Listen, if sin wasn't fun, wouldn't nobody want to do it? It is. But what's God think of it? He hates it. We are to have that same attitude towards sin. Repent, turn back, and return and do the first works. How do you build a relationship? The way I built a relationship with her wasn't just by thinking, well, she's good looking, and that went on about my business. No. I took her out to eat. Convinced her I was rich. You know, treated her like a queen. Still try to. She's a jewel in a box for me. That's the way I look at it. She was hidden in a box and I opened it up, polished it up, and I want everybody to know. That's what we're supposed to be doing with Jesus. Jesus said, get back to where you were. In other words, get back to your first love. Love because I died for you and because I gave you eternal life. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for my sin. And because of him, I have eternal life. We've got to get back to how do I do that in the studying? Hey, I can read this all day long. Brother Chris mentioned that last night. I have never, I'm gonna be upfront and honest with you. I have never sat and started at Genesis 1:1 and read the Bible all the way to the last verse in Revelation. Because I started out doing it, I don't know how many times, and I got to the begits and the begats and the begoos. And I'm like, personally, if you do that, that's great. Read the Bible. But study. Study's where it's going to come in at. I can look at her and say, yeah, I like her. But I needed to study her. I needed to know what her favorite color was. I needed to know that her eyes are brown. Because when I first met her, somebody asked me that. I said, I don't know what color her eyes are. I need to know what she likes to eat, what she don't like to eat. I know a lot of what she don't like to eat. She don't like things that's moving. She had a hard time with Oriental food. She said, the texture ain't right. I said, it's okay, it's dead. Lord said, all things are clean, right? You know, we've got to know. Listen, we need to know what God expects of us. And the only way we're going to do that is right here. Is to know what God expects. The sad part is we do. We do know what God expects. But what gets you off track? That's what you got to ask yourself. You got to ask yourself, what takes my mind off of the Lord? And when you figure out what takes your mind off of the Lord, then walk away from it. Fix that problem. You see, David, that guy was trying to take his mind off of what he was supposed to do. Oh, you son of Belial, and blank, 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 you just think you're king. It's all your fault that Saul's dead. Guess what? All of this stuff is happening to you because of what you did to Saul. David said, let that nut alone. Let him do what he wants. Let's just ride. And he kept right on the course that he was supposed to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. We don't need to worry about what family thinks. You don't need to worry about what people think. You go in a restaurant, I'll take my hat off. Brother Mike's with me sometimes. And I'll bow and pray. I don't care what people think. I'm not doing it for them. I'm asking the Lord to bless the food that I'm about to partake. I don't care where I'm at. I don't need to worry about what they think. I don't need to worry about what my family... I've got family that is still waiting for me to get out of this fad I'm in. But they do. Family's probably the worst. You know, I wanted to invite family all up to my house, but... No, let's go to my sister's, or let's go to here, let's go to there, because they don't want to go to church as much as I do. They know if they're there, it's out of respect they're going to go to church. You know, but you can OD on church. You can get too much of it. I don't think so either, brother. I had a lady one time that called me. It was right after VBS. It wasn't here. We went through a whole week of VBS. She called me. On a Sunday morning, she said, brother, I've just had too much. I've got to stay home today. I went, woo! I knew I was right. You can OD. Not really. We got to stay focused on what we're doing. Amen. We can't let that stuff pull our minds off of what we're to do. And our number one thing is, the Lord Jesus told the church, go. Amen. And tell people about the Lord. Let's stand. Brother Roby, if you'll come up. Brother Craig, pick us a song out. We're going to have an invitation.
One of these, the Baptist hymnal, page 320.
Page 320. We're going to have an invitation, and if the Lord's spoken to you in any way, however it may be, as we sing, follow His guidance. Keep your focus. Don't let that little voice say, hey, you don't want to go up there in front of those people. And people laugh at you. No, you don't listen to that. You listen to that little voice that says, you go pray. You go get this right with the Lord as we sing. Thank you.